Hare Krishna.
We'll start today's session. So we'll just briefly review what we discussed last week. You both didn't attend, right? We miss you. You are feeling better now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we discussed 33 and 34, right? So what's the connection between 32 and 33? Usually it's easier to write on, if you have pencil, write on Bhagavad Gita next to the verse.
I don't like it, Madhaji. Then because when I read, I feel that I've done something bad to the book. So this is better.
But that book, I don't know whether we'll again read it. Notebook.
So, what you are saying is like, if we disobey, like, if we don't follow, we will not go back to God. It. That was the reason. And then second thing was, even if we know that, if we don't, I'm not able to get it. What exactly?
Though we know there is a punishment.
Punishment. So if we, then we can follow it, right? We can avoid this. But still, we are entrapped because of the power of Maya.
Yes. So even though there is, we know there is a consequences of not following, you know, Krishna's teachings. Mm. Krishna says, you know, we'll be befooled, or you know, we'll be, there will be, our endeavors for perfection will be ruined. Krishna gives all these consequences. Still, then why, even at least for the fear of punishment, somebody should be obeying to Krishna's rules. So why is somebody not able to do? So the connection is because the modes of material nature is so powerful that it overwhelms a living entity and it completely, you know, directs one according to one's desires and takes him away from Krishna.
So
if that's what one's desire.
Because of our desires, though we fear, the desires are what the modes will help us to fulfill or do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because these desires are there for time, from time immemorial, right? Mm. So maybe momentarily I may fear. What I'm saying is that the fraction of the time I'm fearful is very less when compared to the, you know, the strength of the desires.
Yeah.
Mm. So, you know, then modes of material nature will facilitate our desires. So essentially choice is ours, whether we are acting on our desires or whether we should act out of fear. Usually we tend to act because the desires are stronger. So we tend to act based on desire. So then, once we desire, what will happen? Krishna will order the material modes of nature to facilitate the desire.
Mm.
Then everything will go away. We are going away.
You once told us, right? Like, Krishna would like us to love him, but not out of fear. But
yes. Yeah, this is just, just for the sake of discussion. Mm. Like if Arjuna is saying, at least for fear, people should follow.
Right.
Out of fear, out of obedience. Still, they are not able to follow. Why? Okay, so then, so some points in 33.
So the material nature forces the soul to act according to its nature as the only way out is Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
Theoretical knowledge is alone not enough.
Mm.
And you cannot just give up. That does not mean that you give up everything and come here and, you know, start ringing the bell. Without purification, it's not possible.
Mm.
So another discussion we had was, so when you have all these desires coming in your mind, whether we go with the flow or do we resist them? And you said the answer was to just tolerate them, don't be attached or don't be attached.
Oh, that's the next verse, attachment. Because that's a very good leading question you were only asking.
Mm.
Right? If we are anyway going to act based on modes of material nature, is there anything in our control to do in first place?
Mm.
Are we really helpless, or are we really, you know, just somebody is pulling us and we have to go?
Yeah.
That's a very nice leading question you were asking. So then what was the answer, which was leading to the next verse which Krishna was saying?
So,
If we read the verse, we will get a clue.
Because we regulate ourselves slowly out of the desires.
So basically, there are attachments and aversions which are strong. Attachments are generally right now, our attachments are for sense gratification, and aversions are for anything related to spiritual. Like, you know, we don't want to get up early in the morning, fast on Janmashtami, or we don't want to go for Harinam, because we are not used to it and we are averse to spiritual practices. But we are attached to anything comfortable, oh, the soft bed, or, you know, sleep one more hour extra, 10 minutes extra. So, you know, those are our attachments. So Krishna is saying one should not come under the control of such attachments and aversions, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So there is something in our hands, that's what Krishna is telling. You know, it's not that we are forced by modes of material nature to act, and we are saying, you know, helpless and I cannot do anything. So, you know, there is nothing I can do. But Krishna is saying, you should try to follow the prescribed duties of the Shastras and regulate yourselves. So then in the purport, Prabhupada was talking about regulation of sex life. Right? Like how marriage is there in order to regulate that. And we also discussed about meat eating, regulation of meat eating, right? Now there is prescribed sacrifices so that, you know, somebody will not be, you know, left, right and center kill animals and eat meat, right? So there is some regulation by which slowly they will understand there is some superior authority. And even the sacrifices, they say, you know, everything is offered to Vishnu again. Even though initially it's like Kali, but eventually there is a prayer which says it's offered to Vishnu. Then the person says, okay, why are we calling Vishnu's name? Then the pujari will say, if he's good in, no, very sincere, he will say, you know, actually Yajnapati is Vishnu. He is only awarding everything. Oh, then why am I praying to demigod? Let me go to Vishnu directly. So that's how eventually through the sacrifices, people, when they are qualified, they come to Krishna consciousness. So that's that's, of course, we have heard, right? It's a very gradual process if you have to go through, you know, prescribed duties. And but then we also heard, if once you have, one who have already taken Krishna consciousness, they have fulfilled all their prescribed duties already, so they don't need to go through this gradual process.
Mataji, I got a question. Is Krishna incarnation of Vishnu, or Vishnu is incarnation of Krishna?
Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan and Vishnu is his expansion, Krishna's expansion.
Expansion meaning?
Personal expansion, like, means like it's in tattva wise they are Vishnu tattva, means like each of them can award us liberation. So personal expansion means it's non-different in his qualities, like we are all his separated expansion. That means we are tiny, we don't have the full potency of the Lord, but all the Vishnu tattvas, like, you know, Rama, Narsimha, like many, like Varaha, all the Vishnu tattvas have full potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Swayam Bhagavan, original personality, is Krishna. So
he exists in two forms, you're saying?
Yeah, Krishna, yeah, we can understand
it. God,
yeah,
but
yeah.
He also, at the same time, simultaneously,
yes.
It's not,
yes,
like one incarnation happens,
yes,
after the other.
Yes,
so
simultaneously, right now, in all the spiritual planets, Lord is existing in so many forms. Like there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. In each of the Vaikuntha planets, Lord is in one form of Narayana or the other, based on the way he holds his club and conch and the four lotus flower and chakra.
So does Lord Vishnu have as much potency as Lord Krishna?
Yeah.
So he's equal.
Yeah. Equal, yeah.
But we just recognize the Supreme Godhead as Krishna, even though it's the same thing.
Yeah,
they are in two different
forms. We say
forms,
original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, is Krishna.
I see.
But everybody is personality of Godhead, because, you know, they are God. Everybody is God. Everybody means all the Vishnu Tattva, they are equal, and they are they can give us entrance into Vaikuntha.
Right. For what I'm trying to get at is, like, Lord Ram would not be considered comparable as you would call Vishnu and Krishna, right? There's some difference between Vishnu and other.
Actually,
this might be off topic.
This,
I can,
yeah,
can discuss with
this,
you.
Yeah, definitely off topic. But actually, when we were, you know, leading, especially when these verses about Vishnu, then pertinently we asked questions in our classes. Then little bit goes like this, on and on, and then, you know, our teacher told very clearly, you know, we are once we start understanding or, you know, try to do this, we actually tend to become offensive. Either we say, you know, he's lower, he's higher, you know, so it actually leads to offenses. Because, you know, they are God, and, you know, when we are trying to, you know, say, you know, you are something, you know, he says it becomes offensive. So at least tattva wise we can understand, you know, this is what it is. We may not know the details, how it happens, or, you know, some details are there.
I think my question is coming more from trying to understand the existence, not really considering on a scale of who is higher or lower.
Yeah, but, you know, because
we
have...
what is that form, or what is the representation of that?
But because, you know, we have this material calculation so much imbibed in us, generally that's how we tend to think, you know, oh, who is higher, or, you know, who, like that. So that's one thing we can try to avoid. So that's why we call Krishna as a Swayam Bhagavan, the original person. Like, as if, like, there is one candle, from that candle there are many other candles are lit. All the candles have equal potency, but still there is one original candle, that is Krishna. Okay. So what else in related to 34th verse? Any other points? So very, very important point we discussed in 34. I hope somebody will bring that. Prabhupada was telling about submitting to the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but still within that also there could be some danger.
No attachment for regulated sense
enjoyment. So even regulated sense enjoyment, we should not be attached, thinking, okay, I got my license now, so I am free to do anything and everything. Because within that also, we may get trapped again, because it's still sense enjoyment. Like, for example, because Prabhupada was giving example of marriage, so within marriage it's allowed. But now within marriage it's allowed means day and night without seeing anything, you know, without doing my duties, if I indulge in sex enjoyment, then I'm like losing the purpose of life. I'm not utilizing my life for self-realization. And then eventually, you know, I will get entrapped. And our next life, I will get a body which allows for that desire to be fulfilled. Right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying, you know, there is danger even on the safest road. So what is the solution Prabhupada is giving instead then?
Engage senses in the Lord.
So he's saying actually we should be attached to Krishna consciousness. So we are, because in this verse we are talking about attachment and aversion, right? So Prabhupada is telling, you know, instead divert that attachment to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna consciousness. So the last line is, the whole purpose of detachment from all kinds of sense attachment is ultimately to become situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Earlier he was saying, therefore no one should try to be detached from Krishna consciousness at any stage of life. Okay, it's okay. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. So again, after all this discussion, Krishna is again emphasizing about, you know, performing one's duties. That is verse number 35. This verse many of might have heard already, right? We can read, recite the verse. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another duties. For to follow another's path is dangerous. Have anybody heard this verse earlier?
Yes.
last two lines especially, right? Swadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. In Telugu there was a movie based on this. I don't know how many of you know.
I didn't know the museum movie was there, but I've heard this.
Yeah.
But what does it mean by performing another person's duty?
Yeah, we'll read the purport. And basically, it's like, you know, based on modes of material nature, we have certain duty to perform. But sometimes, out of whims or some other external reasons, we may feel like, I would rather do that person's duty. So then Krishna is warning us not to do it. So we'll try to understand what does it mean in the context of devotees and in general, and try to see how we can apply this. So first few, just let's go into the translation. So Krishna is saying it's better to discharge one's prescribed duties. So far he was telling just do your duties. But now he's adding more clauses, you know, qualifying that how to do one's duties. Discharge one's prescribed duties even though faultily. See, that's very important. Then another's duties perfectly. So sometimes it may seem like, you know, that other duty, it's easier for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, being a teacher, Brahmanas are supposed to teach, let's say. Right? That's their prescribed duty. And Kshatriyas are supposed to rule. Or let's say in a temple case, right? Kshatriyas usually are in administrative, like, you know, maybe temple leaders or temple commanders. You know, they manage all the, you know, grocery, what's coming in, what's going out, who are employed where and whatever. They're usually Kshatriya type of administrators. They do that. And there are some devotees who are employed in teaching. Let's say Bhakti Shastri, some devotees doing that. Of course, the devotees are different. Like, you know, that's another point we'll come to later. Vaishnavas are transcendental to all this actually. So somebody may say, you know, oh, I'm teaching Bhakti Shastri, but actually, but you know, I like that post of managing the temple. You know, somehow, you know, it seems like natural for me. I may be able to do it. Or maybe it may be external attraction. It's like, you know, maybe the position, power, that's what is attracting us. I want that power. Rather than, you know, as a service to Krishna. So then, even though seemingly you may have that abilities, if you may be able to do it perfectly, if it's not your dharma, you should not do it. That's what Krishna is telling. So then the question arises, you know, what is my dharma? How will I know? All these things, right? Yeah, so we'll see. So then next clause, Krishna is saying, destruction in the course of one's own performing of one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties. So example here is like a Kshatriya, is supposed to be violent and fight for the right reason when it's needed. So in fighting that war, if he has to face death or gets injured, actually it's great for him. Or what to say, it's prestigious. But rather, if he runs away from battle or, you know, he remains non-violent and acts like a Brahmana who's supposed to be non-violent, he actually gets dishonor. So destruction in performing one's duty, like, you know, even death for a Kshatriya is actually much better than doing like acting like a Brahmana and running away. That's why Krishna was telling earlier to Arjuna, right? You know, dishonor is worse than death, and people will scorn you. You know, they will tell you that, you know, you are not at all a able person. So many reasons Krishna gave. Right? So we understood this verse. And then let's see what Srila Prabhupada is explaining to understand this better. Okay. Shubhavad.
One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness rather than those prescribed for others.
Mm.
Materially, prescribed duties are duties enjoyed according to one's psychological condition.
Psychophysical condition.
Or psychophysical condition under the spell of modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are so ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. But whether the material or spiritual, one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. Duties on the spiritual platform and duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. When one is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed duties for his particular situation and should not imitate others.
Okay, we can pause there, Mataji. So, okay. So, Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on, you know, the prescribed duties, and he's saying there are actually two types of prescribed duties. One is material duties and spiritual duties. and material duties are assigned according to one's psychophysical condition. That means according to the modes of material nature we are situated in. And that's why it's applicable as long as one is under the spell of modes of material nature. That means literally when he is in the material world. And similarly, spiritual master can also assign us spiritual duties for our service to Krishna. You know, whatever is needed for us to go back to Godhead. Those are spiritual duties. So material duties are varnashrama basically. Those are the material duties. According to the varna and ashrama, according to the modes of material nature one is situated, they fall into certain varna and for certain ashrama. So what are the four varnas and four ashramas?
Kshatriya, Shudra, sorry, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Baniya and Shudra,
Vaishya
and Shudra, and the four Grahastha,
Brahmachari,
Grahastha,
Vanaprastha
and Sannyasas.
So four varnas and four ashramas, right? Okay. So based on the modes of material nature, so of how one is situated, they are assigned in particular, they are in a particular, either, you know, they are there a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or Shudra. So now, I think so far we never discussed this. So let's discuss some of these qualities. You know, what modes of material nature does Brahmana, you know, act on, and what Kshatriya acts, or you know, what are the qualities? First, before that, actually, we'll read a verse where Krishna says, you know, he created this Chaturvarnashrama, and according to guna and karma. Chaturvarnya Maya Shrishtam. 4.13 Chaturvanyam Maya Shushtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidhi Akartaram Avyayam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So there here Krishna says that according to the guna and karma, actually, guna karma vibhagasha, according to the guna, or you know, qualities, or you know, their modes of material nature, and karma, their activities. Based on that, somebody is designated as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It's not that, you know, I am born in a Brahmana family, then I automatically become a Brahmana. I may be born in a Brahmana family, but my qualities may be like a Shudra, like, you know, I tell lies. Brahmana's one of the qualities is, you know, they are truthful. In this regard, there is one example, right? So there was one lady's son, and you know, he wanted to learn some education, and there was a sage who was teaching to all the children of that age, Gurukula. So then mother says, okay, now you go and you know, study there. So he goes there. But you know, they were pretty much, they wanted to know which background somebody came before teaching at that age, right? Those ages. So then the sage was like, you know, they didn't know who this father is, or you know, family, everything. So he was hesitant to teach him. So then he said, okay, you go and ask, you know, you tell me who your father is, then we'll see whether we can teach him. Teach you. Then he said, he goes to his mother and he asks, mother, you know, can you tell me, the sage is asking who my father is. Then she told, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know who your father is. Then the boy goes to the sage and he replies saying, you know, we don't know who our father is. Then he said, okay, you are admitted, you are a Brahmana, because you didn't lie. Your nature is like you're a Brahmana. No, you didn't lie. So, you know, we are qualified to, this school is for teaching Brahmanas, so we can teach you. So that's, you know, that's how much, you know, the qualities come out actually for the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas. And, you know, Kshatriyas, as we discussed earlier, right, Kshatriyas are so, they cannot tolerate violence or, you know, injustice. So they have to act. The Krishna says, you know, you will by nature, you know, you will act according to your modes. So why don't you just do it as a service unto me? So we discussed, right, if Arjuna went to the forest for begging, he would end up fighting there, because his spirit is so much, Kshatriya spirit is there.
What is the qualities of Duryodhana? Is he Kshatriya?
Yeah.
But currently Kshatriya's quality is to tolerate, like to fight against injustice. Suryodhana is causing injustice. No, I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there are bad elements.
Yeah. So they're misusing their basically in their nature.
Mm.
So they are not ideally, you know, all these duties one is supposed to do. Eventually, what's the perfection of duties? Perfection of our duties is to actually please the Supreme Lord. Like whatever varna ashrama we are situated in, eventually, you know, the perfection of all these duties is to please the Supreme Lord. That is what duties are meant for, actually. But if suppose somebody is opposed to the Lord, what they will do is they misuse the duties and they do it for their own enjoyment. So that's what is happening. Duryodhana.
So it would be like he would have all these inherent qualities
yes.
of the Kshatriya.
Yeah.
When it comes to that occasion, he would probably demonstrate them, but
he will use it for his own ulterior motives.
Or power, being power hungry,
yes.
he got into this path.
Yeah. So he will use it for. So he's essentially he's not doing his duties, we can say. Because he's going.
But purpose is different.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also not doing his duties. Duties means according to Vedas, actually. Duties are meant to be done according to the Vedic injunctions. So Vedic injunction, nobody is nowhere it said that you have to be opposed to the Lord and devotees. Yeah. So that's why, you know, there also like another duty of Kshatriya is to rule. Kshatriyas cannot live without ruling. They have to rule over somebody. That's their dharma. So that's why eventually after the negotiations, Krishna says, you know, okay, go and ask them at least five villages. So we can rule five villages. Because we are Kshatriyas, we cannot live as, you know, subordinate to somebody else. We have to rule something. So then they, Duryodhana said, we'll not even give you, you know, piece of land where you can put a pin through. So then the whole war had to start. So that's another duty. So we'll come to the duties actually. So we got this right. Krishna created the system according to guna and karma. So now let's go through these verses in 18th chapter where the Krishna discusses these qualities of Brahmana, Vaishna, Vaishya, Shudra and Kshatriya.
18.41.
I will read the translation. 18.41. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. So is Krishna saying they are based on the modes they are distinguished. 42. These are the characteristics of Brahmanas and the qualities. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. 44. Farming, cow protection and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras, there is labor and service to others. Text 45. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. So next verse is not related to this topic. But if you go to the next verse, 47. This is exactly same as what we discussed earlier. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions.
Mm.
The same verse, actually.
It's the same verse.
Same verse.
Yeah, exactly same. Same, no. You know, Shaya, same. First two lines are same.
First line is the same.
Yeah.
Second one.
Second line is also same. Shreyan Swadharma Viguna Paradharma Swadswanatistas. Last two lines are different.
Mm.
Yeah. So Krishna repeats himself. So but here he gives a clue because duties prescribed according to one's nature doesn't, you know, never get affected by sinful reactions. So if we do according to our nature, then we are free from sins. So that's why we should follow one's duties rather than doing others' duties. Then we'll not get purification, we'll not, and we'll get reactions.
So these qualities don't hold good now.
Yeah.
We're all born as Shudras.
Yes.
Even though we might have our backgrounds coming from Kshatriya.
Yeah. Yeah. In Kali Yuga, it is said that everybody is born a Shudra. So the only...
Just wanted to show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, come on. Please, all of you, give your best.
Okay, Krishna. What were we discussing? Yeah, okay, nowadays, so Kali Yuga, everybody is born a Shudra. But then the only reason is by the process of Krishna consciousness devotional service, one can be uplifted to the stage of Brahmana or even higher to Vaishnava. That's the only only solution. Everybody is born a Shudra, but it's said that by the training of a bona fide spiritual master and by initiation, even a low class Shudra can be uplifted to the stage of Brahmana and Vaishnava. So that's the way out for us.
So
that's why Prabhupada said we have built this society to make Brahmanas.
So somebody can be a Shudra or a Vaishya in some stage of life in terms of they have those characteristics. And then you're saying they can either educate themselves or work or whatever and then change the characteristics and become something else, because that's what I mean. This doesn't sound like
right? Yeah, you can actually only through Krishna consciousness it's possible, because it's all predominated by the modes, right? So actually later on I can paraphrase this. In 18.47, the verse we read in the purport, Prabhupada says Brahmanas are predominantly by modes of mode of goodness. Not that one actually. In the Chaturvanyam, that purport Prabhupada says. So we are telling, right, based on the modes, these people are divided, right? So Brahmanas mainly are dominated by mode of goodness. Kshatriyas mainly dominated by mode of passion. And Vaishyas by passion and ignorance. And Shudras by ignorance. So somebody is born a Shudra. That means predominantly dominated by mode of ignorance. By process of Krishna consciousness, they can uplift, purify themselves such that mode of goodness acts them on them more than mode of passion and ignorance. That's why we are trying to avoid all the habits which pulls us into passion and ignorance, like drinking, intoxication, or onion, garlic. These are they increase the passionate tendencies, and the coffee, everything, they increase our ignorance. So we try to avoid this so that we gradually uplift ourselves with the help of Krishna consciousness, the mode of goodness. So then gradually we can become qualified Brahmanas, where none of the lower modes act on us. But predominating mode which acts on us will be a mode of goodness.
So without Krishna consciousness, if somebody tries to change their guna, then they are destined for failure.
Yes. Okay. So they cannot change their gunas. What they do, they change their duties.
Right.
So gunas nobody can change. Unless, only Krishna can change by the potency of devotional service. Because we cannot manipulate the divine nature, right? It's so huge and so gigantic. What people try to do is they just jump into the other person's boat, that's all,
right,
without qualification.
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So what we have to do is we have to change the root cause. We have to change the modes which are acting on us. Got it?
If you change your modes, then you can change your category.
Exact category, yes. So now, for example, let's say let me not talk about myself. So let's say somebody is usually passion and ignorance, right? So passionate, I want to work, I want to career, all these things, right? So many these things. But eventually with the process of Krishna consciousness, you'll get purified, and then you feel like, why I want to do this? Maybe I want to teach. Your inclinations change automatically.
They are more
Brahmanic. Yeah, more Brahmanic. Brahmanas are meant to teach. They could either teach, shastras like this, or they could teach, even Dronacharya like this, right? Even for military art, to teach military art, there should be Brahmanas. Even though the art is fighting, but there needs to be a bona fide teacher, and that's the Brahmana.
So Mataji, you said that the ultimate aim for everybody would be to reach the stage of a Brahmana, but the qualities or the traits that you're describing of a Kshatriya or a Vaishnava, those are all, somebody needs to fight against injustice, so that's also
yes,
important.
Yes.
Somebody needs to do trade.
The ultimate aim is not to become a Brahmana. Ultimate aim is to please the Lord in whatever duties we are doing. So, ideally, in the world where these things are properly classified, when we know we are Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, Shudras, they are there, they need to just stick to their duties. Like, for example, Vaishyas, they have to stick to agriculture and cow protection. So, then, you know, they can give the vegetation to all the other people in the society. So, everybody becomes teachers, and who will grow the land, right? So, similarly, there should be Shudras, there should be barbers, there should be other, you know, shoekeepers, all these people. Otherwise, who will do their job? So everybody has a role to do, and as long as we stick to our duty, knowing what our duty is, and do it for the pleasure of the Lord, then we will be free from sinful reactions and we will attain perfection through that duties. But if we start jumping, then that's where Krishna says, you know, it's not good.
But see, I think that also creates a lot of, I mean, the interpretation you are giving, I can understand, right? It's logical, but if you look at Indian history, I think this gets very badly misinterpreted.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why people cannot change, you know, they're not welcome to change their standing.
Yes. That's why, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, this thing got changed. Instead of guna karma, this is very significant, this word, in the 4.13 verse, right? Guna karma vibhakasha. Krishna says, I've divided them according to their qualities and activities. Prabhupada said, over the time, it got changed into janma karma.
Yeah.
If I am born of a Brahmana family, then I am a Brahmana. So, you know, I can wear sacred thread, I can chant Gayatri, and I can start worshipping the deity. That's how it became. Brahmana's children become by default Brahmanas. And Kshatriya's sons, they want to rule the kingdom by default, like Duryodhana, all those people, even though they may not be ready. So, like that. That's what it got changed. That's why the caste system got...
Even in Mahabharata story, you know, like Karna,
he
was not accepted, right?
Exactly.
So... At that time, it shouldn't be happening, right?
Yeah, no, because they were, you know, that time, these things are, you know, followed. There are proper Vaishnavas, proper, Parnashrama was properly followed that time.
Mm.
So that's why, you know, Draupadi, when she was doing Swayamvara, right, that's the time you were telling, right? I can tell you the incident where it happened. So Draupadi was doing Swayamvara, right? And they invited all the kings, you know, to win the... The fight,
yeah.
The game, whatever, the bird, right? Fish.
Yeah, suppose it's
eye of the
fish is looking at
the water. Reflection in the water. So then they invited everyone, and of course, from Pandavas, Arjuna went, and then Karna was ready. You know, he was attracted and he wants to participate. And he was an archer too. And he was actually Kshatriya, he's born of Kunti. And his nature, not only born, his nature is Kshatriya. But then, because he got misplaced, right, as after he's born, he was raised by a fisherman. So then Karna says, you know, Karna goes there and says, I'm going to participate. Then Draupadi knew there are only two people who could do this. Either Karna or Arjuna. They are the one who excel in that art. And she was attracted to Arjuna, and she didn't want Arjuna to have any other opponent. So then she said, only Brahmanas or Kshatriyas should do this. Because I'm a queen, or, you know, her father announced actually. Only qualified Brahmanas and Kshatriyas should participate in this this thing. Because queen cannot marry a Shudra. Because she has to go up actually, she should not go down. Because she is already a Kshatriya. So Brahmanas are higher than Kshatriyas. So either Kshatriyas or Brahmanas can marry her, but not lower. So then Karna understood, you know, this is all the trick for me to be not participating in this. Like this, and then that's how he got up. So that shows, you know, they were following this. Varnashrama properly at that time. And later on in the purport.
But then that's not fair,
that's
right?
Not
but that point is not fair in the sense that if it's guna karma.
Oh, okay, that's how you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
That's
all. Interesting. Yeah, because I don't know how they would test their qualities, right? Because he didn't rule a kingdom. How would he prove himself as a Kshatriya? That's
so
the whole point.
Okay, now, throughout his life, multiple times he proved he was a Kshatriya. So Vishwamitra, he took training saying that he was a Brahmana, but when this thing bit him, he showed his valor by resisting that. Then whenever he got the chance, he proved his
that's
valor. So guna, he was there, and that's why Duryodhana actually bought him in. Friendship was second nature, right? That's just his fate.
That's good.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. Yeah.
It's just his fate. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so nowadays everybody is a Kshudra. So ultimate goal is actually to please the Lord in whatever duties we are doing. But from Kshudra state, we can elevate ourselves to Brahmanas, and above Brahmanas to Vaishnavas, which Prabhupada is going to discuss later on. Okay, for example, we can read the purport.
Mataji, again, you are saying we have to raise ourselves to the Brahmana.
Yeah, because now we are Shudras, right? Why do you want to remain as Shudras?
No, but we just say that the properties or the qualities of each was important.
That's true, but Brahmanas, we are meant to do a better service to the society. Better in the sense of intellectually higher service. So Prabhupada said we are building the society in order to cultivate or make people into Brahmanas, so they can guide the political leaders in how to rule the country. So in the olden days, the kings were called Rajarshis. They are saintly kings, but they just do the administration, but they are guided by Brahmanas, right? For example, Chanakya Pandit was a Brahmana. He was the head behind the king. Who was the king? Anybody knows? Prataparudra?
Vikramaditya.
Yeah, so seemingly, and Brahmanas didn't want to take the position, I am the doer. They just, every act he did, actually it's all guided by Chanakya Pandit.
He was very shrewd. Also.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't know about the
business part. that's how they are. Brahmanas are meant to guide the administrators. So Prabhupada says in many places, like, we want devotees to be in the, in a situation or a position that they can guide the politicians. We don't want, we are not interested in politics and diplomacy. Let the people take their positions, but let them be guided by devotees who are pure. They can teach them how to rule the society in such a way that everybody can be guided towards God consciousness. So that's why we need Brahmanas. So they can be, Brahmanas, jnanam vijnanam. One of the qualities, right? So they are familiar with knowledge and they have practical application of the knowledge. That's the qualities of Brahmanas. So then they can help the society in guiding them.
Would it be right to say keep performing your prescribed duties according to whatever the word may be, but elevate yourself to these good qualities of a Brahmana, right?
Yeah.
You don't
try
get
to
away
get
from your own, from your word, whatever the duties are, but
kind of evolve or develop quality. Yourself, uplift yourself quality,
to the state of thinking of a Brahman.
Yeah, these days everybody is a Shudra. So, either we can remain a Shudra or, we'll remain a Shudra if we don't take to Krishna consciousness. There is no other way to uplift ourselves other than taking to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness naturally, eventually will uplift us to Brahmana stage. But at the same time, Vaishnava is above all these modes of material nature. That's, we'll come to that actually. The reason being, so initially we may be Shudra, we are uplifting ourselves to Brahmana. It doesn't mean now I don't do anything which is so-called Shudra-like. Because now we are Vaishnava. That means we will do whatever is needed for service of Krishna. If it means cleaning toilets, I will do it. So that's why Vaishnava is above the modes, above the Chaturvarnas. So Vaishnava, if needed, he has to teach, he will teach. Vaishnava, if needed, he has to fight, like let's say, anything like, in Russia they were saying they will ban Bhagavad Gita. So there were some demonstrations and things like that. If we have to fight, we have to fight. Because whatever we do it for Krishna. So, then it becomes above the modes. Got it? So seemingly somebody say cleaning toilet is like Shudra service. So now I'm a that's in some temples it's happening. Okay, now I'm a Brahmana, I will give a class in Sunday feast, but I'll not clean the toilet. Right? So then that's not the right application. Whatever based on time, place, and if you see Harivilas Prabhu's example, right? Based on time, place, and circumstances, whatever is needed, he will do it. like that. He cooks for the Thanksgiving dinner, he goes for Harinam, you know, so many things, you know. He secretly was known to clean toilets actually. Many times Nandasutta Prabhu, when he gives his Vyasapuja offerings, he quotes that example.
Mataji, I have seen him rearranging the
shoes. So somebody may say, oh, he's a temple president, such a high position, why is he doing this? There are so many other servants he could engage, you know.
Are you saying Vaishnava is the same as Vaishya?
No.
Or something?
Something
that's different.
Yeah.
Because I was confused.
Yeah.
Because Vaishyas had that farming and protection.
No, Vaishnava is different.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll come to that discussion. Can read that one.
For example, a Brahmana who is in the mode of goodness is non-violent, whereas a Kshatriya who is in the mode of passion is allowed to be violent. As such, for Kshatriya it is better to be vanquished the rules of violence than to imitate a Brahmana who follows the principles of non-violence. Everyone has to clean his heart by a gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, the Kshatriya may act as a Brahmana, or a Brahmana may act as a Kshatriya. In the transcendental stage, the distinctions of the material world do not apply. For example, Vishwamitra was originally a Kshatriya, but later on he acted as a Brahmana. Whereas Parashurama was a Brahmana, but later on he acted as a Kshatriya. Being transcendentally situated, they could do so. But as long as one is on the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature. At the same time, he must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness.
Got it? This is what we discussed everything, right? Prabhupada gave example of, you know, so Brahmana, he should be non-violent, but he should not act like a Kshatriya being violent. Like that, and then Prabhupada is giving example, but we could actually be above these modes. Then when we are a Vaishnava, then doesn't matter how we act, we could interchangeably act, then we will not be subjected to reactions in that case. Because earlier Krishna says, right, if you don't act according to your nature, you will be getting reaction. But if you are, you know, pleasing Krishna by full Krishna consciousness, then either you are acting like a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, you are going to act for pleasing the Lord. So then you are not going to get reactions. Then he gave example of Vishwamitra and Parashurama for that. But what is the thing for us? Krishna Prabhupada is saying, you know, we cannot abruptly do this. So we should just stick to our duties according to the modes of material nature and then develop this Krishna consciousness. So that's why Prabhupada many times say that don't have to do change anything. You don't have to quit your job, you know, or, you know, leave your family. Grihastha have certain duties to the family, or so many. Don't have to change anything. Just add Krishna. If everybody is practical thing, how we would see this manifest usually in our day-to-day lives is with respect to services, or, you know, like let's say somebody is given a service to let's say take care of children, or maybe, you know, to go to work. Maybe that's a service the spiritual master assigned. But suddenly they see somebody else, let's say they're staying home and taking care of children, they are more happy, or, you know, once in a while you see somebody happy like that. Then suddenly this person feels, oh, why am I going to work and struggling so much, facing these many people, and, you know, I would rather do that. I would rather stay home, take care of my kids, or, you know, take care of things at home. I would rather do that. So this thing percolates, this nature of jumping duties, this is how it comes in our day-to-day, you know, services. Many times thought came to me as well, like, you know, I can imagine it would come to many other people, and they always, because the problem is grass is greener on the other side. We are not happy with what we have, and we somehow have an illusion that, you know, we just change the situation, we'll be happy. But whatever, you know, they say, It is said that actually our teacher was saying, you know, our forehead goes with us wherever we go. So, you know, just because, you know, I'm failing to get promotion in my work, if I shift my job and try to be a, let's say, open a hotel or something, and there also I'll fail if I have to fail. Right? So it doesn't matter. It just we may feel like, and that's why, you know, we all have hopes, and that's why we came to US, right? India, there is no hope, no money, nothing. Okay, let me go to US, you know, we'll get some money and all those things. So this is how it happens. So whenever we, let's say, catch ourselves with this idea, right, we can come back to this verse. Whenever we see, you know, okay, I'm at home, you know, I'm taking care of children, oh, I would rather go to work, or, you know, or I'd rather I would preach, you know, the Man Mataji is doing a lot of seminars, I would rather do like her. Mainly what happens is we get attracted to the external appearances of, you know, fame maybe, or, you know, some glory that person is getting, or some happiness they are getting because of their service to Krishna is giving that happiness. We get usually attracted by that and we feel, I would rather jump into that situation. But rather what we should do is, whatever we are doing, increase our devotion from where we are. Then we will also experience the same happiness. We will also, if Krishna wants, he can also give us fame if that's needed for the service. We don't want fame. We don't want to have fame for ourselves. But for service, sometimes it's needed. Service, sometimes Krishna glorifies certain devotees so that, you know, they are in a prominent position. They can attract more people back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna can give fame for that reason. Right? So, you know, we should catch ourselves from jumping into that boat and say, you know, okay, no, all I have to do is just stick to what I'm doing, but increase my devotion or make it more and more pleasing to Krishna, whatever I'm doing right now. Be it work, be it, you know, taking care at home or something else. Just all I have to do is increase my devotion, whatever I'm doing. That's all. I don't have to change my duties. And if needed, when situation arises, when it's needed, Krishna will change our, you know, our circumstances. Like last time Swami Prabhu was telling, it's too late, we already are married, you know, there is no way out, right?
He said that.
So, we didn't conclude that. We could have given a positive note for that. We can add it now. So, the thing is, like, even at home, with marriage, with wife and children, we can make our home Vaikuntha. Right, when everybody is engaged in Krishna consciousness, that's what Bhaktivinod Thakur says. You know, he has 10 children. He says, whenever I come home, I see the home has turned into Vaikuntha because everybody is engaged in serving Krishna. Somebody is making garland, somebody is playing mridanga, somebody is so many things. Right? Then it doesn't feel like a bondage. It doesn't feel like, you know, material world. It feels like a temple. I was about to say something else. Yeah, there is a very nice pastime in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of Raghunandan Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami. So he is known for his renunciation. He is actually he is a Prayojana Guru, you know, who gives the goal of our devotion service is love. So he's actually guiding us in towards that goal. There are three acharyas, one for Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojana. Sambandha is a relationship with the Lord. Abhidaya is, you know, executing the devotional service, acting in the relationship. Prayojana is the goal, the love of Godhead. So there are acharyas, you know, for each of them, who specifically guide us in that particular way. Anyway, these are details. So, so he is actually perfection of renunciation. You know, he's completely renounced. But he was born in a family, and later on he got married. But then, he was at home, and he got his attraction for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that time. So somehow he heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he just wanted to run away from his home. He was not married at the time. Just run away and, you know, join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his, you know, just go along with him, or, you know, be a brahmachari or whatever. That's what he wanted. He's so much heart yearning he had. But then when Mahaprabhu met him, he said that, you know, no, what you do is, it's not right time for you right now. What you do is go back, remain a householder, you get married, remain a householder, and internally cultivate Krishna consciousness. When the time is ready, Lord will arrange in such a way that you can come out of the situation. So the example it is given there, it's as if like a wife wife, how beautifully she performs her duties at home if she has a paramour outside. Paramour means lover. So if a wife has a lover outside, right, and she is engaging in relationship with him, well, this may seem a little bit, you know, awkward, but this is a, you know, we can clearly understand the example there. So she is actually always meditating on the paramour, but she is doing all the duty so meticulously that nobody can detect that she is something outside. Right? She does it so nicely, expertly, you know, gets up early in the morning or, you know, whatever, cooking, and so mother-in-law, pleasing everyone, taking care of children. But internally, always she's meditating, oh, when will I see that person, or, you know, when will I meet that person, or when will I get a chance to. So that's what, you know, while doing our duties in this life, while taking care of wife, children, doing at work, internally cultivate our love for our paramour, our Krishna. When that fructifies, when that love matures, then Krishna will change our situations if needed for our further devotion service. Like, you know, Prabhupada, he was given order to take sannyas long time back, right? He said, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, you know English language, why don't you go and preach in English language? Prabhupada said, you know, I'm a grihastha now. Actually, Prabhupada is like, you know, pure devotee. He said there never was a time I ever forgot Krishna, he told that. But he was giving example through his own life in certain way for us. So he was saying, I was feeling I'm a grihastha now, I have certain duties, I have children, I have to marry, get them married, and I have to, you know, get jobs, everything, I have to take care. Now how will I do it now? Now it may not be ready for me. And he said, rather I have my business is flourishing, let me invest in my business, and with that money I'm going to support preaching of Krishna consciousness movement. So it's so wonderful, if you read Lilamrita, you'll understand. Actually, business was so nicely flourishing. It's going to go, you know, top. He was going to be a topmost pharmacist, and his company is going to be, you know, very good, so much. But suddenly something happened, everything collapsed. Completely, he lost everything, actually. So then, Prabhupada, again, he quotes this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, you know, I didn't memorize this verse. That verse says that whoever Krishna has special mercy, he takes away everything from him. So he always, he used to remember this verse, you know, I don't know, Krishna has special mercy on me, he's taking away everything. So eventually Prabhupada said, actually, you know, Krishna forced me to follow my Guru Maharaj's instruction. I on my own wouldn't have come out of this grihastha ashram. And eventually it so happened that he attempted to write in English language, or he translated Bhagavad Gita once. Actually, maybe whole or half, I don't know. He translated it. What happened is his wife, he sold that Bhagavad Gita for, you know, sometimes, you know, this steal people, they come, right? So for some tea biscuits, she sold the Bhagavad Gita. Then Prabhupada said, okay, this is it. I'm trying to, you know, write Bhagavad Gita, you know, to serve my Guru Maharaj's mission, and this is what is happening in my family life. So it seems like it's not meant for me. By that time, all his duties are done anyway, and he just left home. So that's what I'm saying. When situation is right, Krishna will arrange the situation such a way that we can further our devotional service. Like, but not in a way to escape our duties and not go and go outside and do other nonsense, right? Nityachari. Unless one purified, one cannot escape one's duties. So that's the point. Krishna will give indication when we are purified, and it's guided by acharyas.
So I was saying that it's most of our experiences, right? For most people, I think Krishna creates situation wherein we become closer to him, right?
Yes.
So there will be some incident or some things in life or difficulties we go through, even good things.
Yes, yes.
That would actually, as compared to normal folks, there will be a certain set of people who will become more close to God.
Correct.
Right?
That's right.
And it's mercy of God, and he kind of chooses those people in a way.
No, actually it's not. He's like rainfall. Rainfall falls on everyone equally, right? But there is some land which is fertile, which grows. But there is some land which is like rocks, which doesn't, nothing happens. So it's actually, somehow or the other, certain living entities are ready, you know, they're qualified, ready right now to receive the, you know, they're susceptible, or, you know, they are conducive to devotion service. And when the rain falls on them, they take it up. But others, they don't take it.
So it's equally being...
It's equally there.
But I feel somehow that...
Of course, there is a causeless
situation is created when you become closer to God.
Yeah, there are certain things
I'm
like...
I'm not saying it's always difficulties that attract you to God.
Mm.
Even good when you are doing very well and things, but something will happen that will actually set you on the path.
Yeah, that's true. We can reflect on our lives and say, you know, there's something happened which caused me to do this. But what I'm saying is, it's not like Lord chooses certain people. That's wrong way to understand that. That's what I'm saying. That shows as if Lord is partial. That's not what Krishna is. That's what I'm trying to convey. Krishna is equally loving everyone, even non-devotees or, you know, materialists or anyone. He's equally loving everyone and he's reciprocating to everyone according to how they want to reciprocate with the Lord. That's how he's equal. The devotees want to love him, so Krishna loves him. Non-devotees, atheists want to ignore him or, you know, live in a world where there's no God. So Krishna creates it like that. So there is nothing impartiality on the Lord's part. So we should not, that's why I'm saying, let's not go into Lord's game. It's our, there are certain qualities or certain qualifications or certain devotion service we did last life,
yeah,
which made us ready for this life.
It.
Or in the worst case, Prabhupada said, actually somebody asked Prabhupada, in this life we did so many nonsense, you know, hippies, we did all kinds of illicit activities, everything. Now, how is it that, you know, we are able to take up Krishna consciousness and do all these pious activities and so devotional to Krishna, all these things seems like exalted thing. How is it we are able to do? What is our qualification? No, how are we qualified? And Prabhupada said, you are not qualified. I made your qualification. So most of us, that's the case. It's pure devotee who traveled the West and now their disciples or the devotees who are preaching, their preaching is somehow it came into our lives. And they are pulling us. Initially it may seem like, you know, oh, actually I walked into the temple, nobody brought me there. It may seem like that, but you know, later on as we make advancement, we'll realize nothing we did actually. For a long period of time, I can reflect, maybe 3-4 years, I thought, you know, I came to Krishna consciousness. No, but after, okay, we may have come, but you know, the way, who is nurturing us, you know, who is growing us, who is tolerating us, it's all devotees and it's all mercy.
Yeah, so to that extent, I was saying that somehow the situation also, I'm not saying being partial also, to that your statement is correct, but it is not like we have fully, it's our contribution to be coming closer to God. Circumstances and things are also created.
That's
in
right.
A way.
That's
and
true.
Part of it is also based on the karma theory, right?
Mm.
Over the life, we have purified
to
some extent to
That's
be able
right.
to realize
yes.
it.
Yeah,
in this life,
that's right.
Close.
That's what one verse Krishna says, you know, only one who is purified, they can take to devotion services. Which is that verse? Teshamta antagatam papam. Janana purim. Yesham. Why? It's
7:28.
340. 340. 340. So, if you read the Sanskrit, Esham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandamoha Nirmukta Vajante Mam Dhridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So here Krishna says, you know, if somebody is determined or, you know, if somebody wants determination, that's what they need to do. They need to free themselves of all the sinful actions of the previous lives and in this lives. And those people only actually they get attracted to devotional service. Otherwise, you know, just imagine somebody addicted to meat eating and, you know, all these things, they can never... Maybe once they'll come to temple, but after that they cannot sustain because there's so much sinful, you know, reactions are, you know, pulling them down actually. So, you know, at least we should come to little bit of piety that, you know, we can receive the message. Otherwise, they cannot understand. They see, I'm like, you know, I'm hearing my dad right now. He's retired, still he works. We are, of course, you know, we are born meat-eating family, right? Like, so it's, for me, it's so obvious. I can just tell, you know, why you are wasting so much life, you know, just at least now you take up Krishna consciousness. I can see it. You know, that's the ultimate solution. That's what gives him happy. He says, you know, last time I called, he was telling so clearly, you know, I feel my life is waste now. What did I do all this for? I feel nobody is there to take care of me, and I'm, you know, suffering with all my body pains, everything. And, you know, what is all this money for? I feel the whole life I worked, it's all waste. No, that's what materialists come to conclusion at the end, actually. They feel life is futile. They don't know, they don't have the positive alternative. They don't know what it is. They can't, and they are so sinful, they cannot take it also. So miserable. Yeah, so that's why, you know, as you know, for your cousin also, in order to benefit them, actually, one way is we can help them by our example, that somehow or the other, if they get some, they have some appreciation for us, at least next life they can take up devotional service. Even if they may not take it now, because they are so associated with us, if they are somehow, you know, appreciate us, that's how we can, you know, bring them closer to Krishna. And another thing is, if we perfect our devotional service, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that 21 generations before and 21 generations after will be liberated.
Bhakta-pralad.
Yeah, Bhakta-pralad. So, you know, if at all we want to, you know, we feel pity or compassionate about our parents or children or anybody, right? So we want to help them. The best help is first for us to become pure devotees. You know, then by virtue of our pure devotion, Krishna will take them also back home. Okay.
When Prabhu came sometime back, I forgot the name, Gauranga
Prabhu.
I think he gave that example when he took, I forgot the name. He took that, he gave the example when he decided to take sannyas in early in the age.
Brahmachari.
Then everyone was opposing him, like his near family members, parents and everyone. Then he called up all relatives, nearby relatives, and he gave a nice class about explaining this, how 21 generation past and future will get liberated. Then everyone was happy.
it's kind of funny, right? This reaction.
And everyone was supporting.
If someone says you want to be a brahmachari, immediately everybody around get very disturbed.
Yeah.
Then he said like everyone was appreciating and helping you. Okay, do this. Okay, go.
Yeah,
do more.
But then he's saying, actually, you know, I'm going to take austerities and I'm going to benefit all of you. So everybody is saying, okay, we cannot do austerities, you do it to help us.
But what about their karma? These people were going to get liberated, even if they had done not good deeds.
Yeah, that's everything will be taken care eventually.
Just like a Bhaktivinoda example, Hiranyakashipu, he got liberated.
He got liberated, yeah. So that's the potency of pure devotional service. That's what... you were saying earlier, right? What will we do if we, you know, if we become pure devotee, how will we benefit the society? No, that's what. Not only 21 generation before and after, by being a pure devotee, just by presence of pure devotee on the world, it's said that the majority of sinful reactions are subsided because of that, you know, the purity of the devotion being carried out. That's why they say when a Vaishnava departs, it's such a, you know, it's such a loss to the world. It's said that, you know, the some amount of piety is gone from the world now.
Can you define what Vaishnava means?
So Vaishnava is a devotee of Vishnu, or you know, we call all of us, or rather, you know, we are all considered, or rather, you know, we are aiming to become a Vaishnava.
Mm-hmm. Shaiva and Vaishnava.
Devotees of Vishnu, Vaishnava. We could have, I don't know how they could have called Krishna something. I don't know how we would have called Krishnaiva something. We are all Vaishnava. Trying to be Vaishnavas. Okay, so I don't think we'll be able to go to the next section. So actually 36 to 42 is the next section actually, where Arjuna is going, there is a discussion about lust. So we'll just do the connection to the 36th verse. Now, you know, Krishna has elaborated so much about doing our duties. And especially in verse number 34, there are attachments and aversions. So the connection, right? So the connection to 36 verse. So somebody may say, okay, now from now on, I'm going to be very stringent. I'm not going to come under the sway of attachments and aversions. I'm going to follow the shastras. I'm going to be determined, doing my duties, everything perfectly. That determination he has. But then time will tell, the determination will not last longer. Just a moment later, he's going to be again falling under the modes. So then Arjuna is going to ask this question, why is it that somebody is forced to act in a way, even though he's not willing? As if like some force is acting on him, and he's acting sinful activities. What is that force? You know, why is he acting like that? That's verse number 36. Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Like a robber, right? He knows what's the effect of committing a theft. Right? He sees, so he heard so many stories. He himself went to jail so many times. But still, he cannot avoid but, you know, rob. So he's impelled to act in sinful acts, even though he knows it's the consequences, and as if sometimes unwillingly, doesn't want to. What is that force? That's a description.
I didn't get much clearly
about the robbery?
About this explanation. Can you just give one example?
Somebody is impelled to act in a sinful acts, even though unwillingly. That means, knowingly, I know committing a thief, committing a theft is a sinful act. See, theoretically, I know. But so in some situations, somehow I'll end up doing it. So one is impelled to act in a sinful way, even though unwillingly. Like, you know, after the situation, if you take me out and ask me, you know, are you really, did you really wanted to do it? I made a master plan and I did it. Then you will say, no, actually, I don't know why. Sometimes we say, right, I don't know why I did like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I shouted, or I don't know why I told lie. I could have told the truth. I don't know why I told lie. Because these are all sinful acts.
It happens all the time.
We don't miss the point. So we end up acting in sinful way sometimes, even though as if it's some force acting on us to make us do like that. That means we don't have a control to change that situation. So what is that force? That's what Arjuna is asking. So this is a very interesting discussion. What is that force? Where does that force reside? How to overcome that force so we can become more Krishna conscious? That's all in the next section, 36 to 42.
So is that the divine force, or is it something wrong?
Come to the next class. I wanted to leave it as suspense. And
we already answered, right? Discussion about the last.
Yeah.
So it's basically
okay, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna.